Good morning, Chanukah Sameach. We're in the middle of our series called How Does It Work? And there is this phrase that we use over this holiday called Chanukah that I think it's important to know how it works. And actually, it's a huge machlokas, and it has ramifications simply because we're living in a time which has what above us. We're living in a time that has something that didn't exist 600-700 years ago. What is it? Take a look up.
The roof.
I think they had roofs 600-700 years ago.
Lights. Electricity.
If you look on the source sheet, you'll see that when the sages went along and said, you have to do something at a certain time, they never said, Bruce, that they have to do it at 12:30 or at 6:30. They had a different way of speaking. Different people have different ways of speaking to one another. Like if you say in English, during the seventh inning stretch, while they were saying, take me out for a ball game, I ate a kosher hot dog, an American knows what you're talking about. An Australian thinks you're talking Chinese. So the sages, they didn't talk in terms of time clocks. They talked in a different way. And how do we know this? Top of the source sheet. First Mishnah in Shas. You can't miss it. The Mishnah asks a very simple question. When do you begin to say Kriyat Shema at Ma'ariv, during at night? When is the nightly obligation begin of Kriyat Shema? Mishasha Kohanim Nechnasim Le'echol B'Trumatam. From the time that the Kohanim go and eat their Truma. How would you translate this into English? If you were writing a Cincino, Schottenstein, Steinsaltz, and onwards. Koren. God forbid, I'm not making any publicity here, or I'm not making any royalties. If you're translating this, what would you say? When do you start saying Shema at night from the time? The stars come out. Didn't say stars here. But that's clearly what they meant. It didn't mean every night, go out, see when the Kohanim are eating. So if there's a chasana, and they got a little drunk, or they were tameh, and took a while, and they only ate whenever, at 12:30, then 12:30 that night. The next night, there's no chasana, they're not drunk, 7 o'clock. The third night, that doesn't mean what it means. It clearly means a time. But instead of saying three stars, instead of saying night, instead of saying darkness, they said from the time that they usually eat Truma. The Kohanim have to go to mikveh, they have to wait till it's night, and then they eat Truma. So on a normative night, that's what it means. And indeed, we have another place in Shas that has a very similar phrase, one that you're probably more familiar with, because we have exactly the same phrase on a certain holiday that shall remain nameless. Masechet Menachot asks, when do you have to take off your tefillin so you don't violate the prohibition of wearing tefillin at night? The Gemara in Menachos, Daf Lamed Vav, Amud Aleph says, Tana Rabbanon, tefillin v'ad matay menichan. When do you have to take off your tefillin if you wear it all day? Different points of view. One of them is Rabbi Yaakov, who says, Ad shetichle regel min hashuk. Until there's no one in the marketplace. Sounds familiar?
Yeah.
Certain holiday comes to mind? Shall remain nameless. Clearly here again doesn't mean, when do you take off your tefillin? Go outside. Look when there's no one on the marketplace. You don't live near the shuk. You got to put a camera on Machane Yehuda, like on the Kotel. The whole world has to see. When there's no one left, take off your tefillin. You got to look at it, because if not, you're going to violate the prohibition. Obviously, what does it mean here? Translating it into English. It means night. People are no longer out in the streets. Meaning a normative time that people are not in the street. So when we get to Hanukkah, and the Gemara in Shabbos says, you start lighting the Hanukkah candles, forget about the beginning time, until when? Ad shetichle regel min hashuk, the third source on the sheet of Shabbos, of Kuf Aleph Amud Bet, until there's no one left in the marketplace, what does it mean? Is it just another way of saying half an hour after nightfall? What does it actually mean in this case? Perhaps very uniquely, unlike the two cases I just said, until there's no one in the marketplace. What does these words mean? Yes, Bruce.
It's interesting that this is legal ramifications of the choice to speak in idiomatic expressions, which we understand want to be really clear and say exactly what they mean and not use idioms where it's not really so clear. the seventh inning stretch. You know, no one will put that in the legal.
Well, that's the again. This is not a class on how the rabbi spoke. You have to ask an expert on rabbinic expressions. But there's no question that from the two sources I showed you, this is the way they spoke.
Yes.
So when they spoke this way with regard to Hanukkah candle, saying it has to light until no one's in the marketplace, does it mean, like the other two examples, a certain amount of time? Instead of saying it in terms of clocks, because they didn't have clocks, they said it in a different way. Or does it actually mean until there's no one left in the marketplace?
It's ambiguous this way.
Oh, so let's see. Va'at kama, until when? Amar Rabba Baruchana, Amar Yochanan, ad dekale rigle de tarmude. Until there's no one left from the Tarmude family. Is that an idiom? Or is that an actual literal expression? Says Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam in the Sefer HaYashar, and then Tosfos on the Gemara. It means a time! It means a time! What do we usually say? A half an hour after your light. If you light on time, exactly at Tzeit HaKochavim, a half an hour later. That's what it means. Achich tereg regel min hashuk, regel de tamuda, tehahu lailahu. That's night. Another way of saying night. Why didn't they say night, Bruce? You're going to have to not sleep tonight and find out why. But, quite frankly, it means night. Rashi doesn't explain it that way. Because Rashi looked at this Gemara and said, wait a minute, there's a big difference between the first two idioms with regard to Shema at night and taking off your tefillin, and this one. In the first two cases, an idiom was put out, we listened, we went on. Here, the Gemara says, till when? Until the Tarmudi family was no longer out, says Rashi, and I'm going to, beautiful Rashi, Shem Uma, who's the Tarmudiites? Name of a nation. Milaktei Tzim Dakim. They would go out and get logs that were very thin. Not big, thick logs, but thin logs. Umitakvim bashuk ad sholchim b'nei hashuk levatehem mishecha shecha, umivarim bebatehem or, uketshuchim laitzim yotzim vekonim mehen. They were the ones that made the big bucks when no one was open. People would go home. They'd put on their heaters. They would run out of logs to light their heaters. The Tarmudiites were still out. You can go to the store. They were like the 24-hour convenience store. So, says Rashi, I read the Gemara. The Gemara clearly didn't just throw out an idiom. They told us exactly which regel min hashuk, which foot is no longer in the marketplace. Who were they, in our language? Till the last store closed. Who were the last store? The Tarmudiites. In other words, in this case, says Rashi, Achetekle regel min hashuk doesn't mean just half an hour after nightfall, like Rabbeinu Tam says, like Tosfos says. No, it actually means till no one's left in the marketplace, till the last store closes, whenever that is. It is absolutely subjective to where you are versus the regular idiom, half an hour after sunset. So we have a clear machlokas rishonim. The Gemara says, in this case, that's it. Okay. Make a long story short. We can bring up a lot of nafkaminas between them, but let's just say them out loud. Gentlemen, where are we living today? We're living in a time where, when is the last person out on the streets? When is the last store closed? I don't know. Baruch Hashem, there's people out a long time. You could say 9 o'clock in certain places. Other places will be 10 o'clock. If you say it's just a time, half an hour after you light, then half an hour after you light doesn't make a difference. But if you say it's subjective like Rashi, we got ourselves a little bit of a problem. If you look on the bottom of the source sheet, you'll see that indeed the Shulchan Aruch brings the Gemara the way it is and says that Matlik v'holech achitechleg regel min hashuk shehu kemo chatzi sha'a, which is like a half an hour, but the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say it's like a half an hour and stops there. What does he add on? Sha'az ha'am ovrim v'shavim v'ika persumei nisa. Because within that half an hour, people are coming and going, people are on the streets, and you can publicize the miracle. Taking this Shulchan Aruch into the year 2017, if you would have to codify the law, you would have to say, you have to light the candles until there's no one left in the marketplace, which is like, strike out the word chatzi sha'a, and put in whatever subjectively is relevant in your neighborhood. If they close the sidewalks at 6 o'clock, 6 o'clock. If they close the sidewalks at 10 o'clock, 10 o'clock. That's the way the Shulchan Aruch codifies the law. The Ramah, brings two points of view. The first point of view is Yesho Mirjab is Mana Zeshim at the Kim Bifnim, ain't Sarikhli Zahir Ladikodim Shtikhavin Mashuk. Times of the Ramah, they were lighting inside for various reasons. They weren't lighting outside. And the Ramah says, therefore, it's subjective to when people are up inside the house. Same idea, just a different application. On the other hand, the Ramah says, Mikom Kudom Lisa Gamas Mana Zed, the Magen Avram says, Fahavachshav Tzarich Eten Bakishiur Azeh, Vikdog Yesh Mikilin Bazeh. In other words, there is another point of view that says, no, it really means a half an hour. So whenever you light at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, you have to put in enough shemen for half an hour. Everybody agrees to that. The machlokas is, do you need more today simply because we're living at a time when people are out longer? So there is a famous, 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 famous story about the Briska Rav, known as Rav Yosef Zev Soloveitchik. Rav Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik, my apologies, known as the grease, not the grease you put on your tires, the grease, Gimel Reish Yud Zayin. He was the son of Rav Chaim Briska, the uncle of the contemporary Rav Soloveitchik, we all talk about the Rav. He lived in Yerushalayim. He lived in Geula in a place that was very, very busy at that time, when he lived there in the 50s, across the street from the Edison Theater. Needless to say, today, on the Gvul of Mei Yesharim and Geula, there is no movie theater. Everybody knows why. But then there was a movie theater, and movies went till late. So he lit the candles, probably like the Gra at Shkia, and he put in enough oil till the last movie ended and people left. We're talking about a huge cup of oil. They don't sell it today in the stores. But ultimately, he said, hey, I'm reading the Shulchan Aruch straight. I'm reading Rashi. I'm reading the Gemara. That's what you got to do. Others will claim, no, it's an idiom. It just means a half an hour. You have to publicize the miracle when people are out and about. You don't have to publicize it the whole time they're out and about. You publicize it when they're out and about. Half an hour, finished. Second Afkamina. It says, Achitichler Regla Minashuk. So you light your candles at 5 o'clock. It lights for half an hour, 5:30. The halacha is very clear that once the candles lit for the right amount of time, you can blow them out. Can you blow them out today?
No.
If you say it's an idiom, yeah, why not? Blow them out. Finished. You did the mitzvah. Half an hour went by. Finished. You can go ahead and blow them out. But if you say, no, it's literal, then as long as there's people outside, you are mekayim a mitzvah. And therefore, you can't blow them out. So as you can see, you take a phrase in the Gemara, it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, everybody knows it until there's no one left in the marketplace. Is that just another way of saying half an hour? Everybody agrees, yes. But do you add on to it and say, no, it also means so no one's left in the marketplace. Now, if you add on to it and you say, this is different from tefillin, when you have to take them off, well, we find the same phrase. This is different from Kriyat Shema at night, where you find a similar phrase, an idiom, but it really means a time. Why would this be different? Why would Hanukkah candles, all of a sudden, you'd find the phrase and you'd say, no, here, you have to really subjectively see whether you live in Efrat or New York to when there's no one left outside. Which has an afkamina of how much oil you have to put in originally. And the second afkamina is, can you blow out the candles when there's still people outside? If it just means a half an hour is gone, blow them out, go to your Hanukkah party. And if not, not. Why would Hanukkah candles be different?
Different from
tefillin, from Shema. We're reading into it like Rashi, that means literally here. It doesn't mean an idiom. If that's the case, it's not just a phrase that we say like seventh inning stretch. Why is Hanukkah candles different?
The Raisa versus the Rabbanan.
What?
The Raisa versus the Rabbanan.
The Raisa versus the Rabbanan would entail being more machmir?
Yeah, that's right.
If you would have told me that, I would have said, no, be more mekel here.
No.
Here, take a phrase. Paskin like Tosfos. No. You're being more machmir. Of course you're more machmir. You're saying it also means a time, and it also means that. No. Okay. I didn't understand.
No.
With tefillin at night, that we paskin that it's the rabbanan. But you're not allowed to wear tefillin at night because you may touch it when your hands are not clean. But there is a point of view that it's the raisa. Most disagree. We paskin like Rabbi Akiva against Rabbi Yishmael on that issue, that it's the rabbanan.
That's the reason. Shema's
definitely the raisa.
Take them off because we're afraid.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Shema's definitely the raisa.
Pardon? Shema is definitely the Oraisa, but why is it that by Shema everybody agrees that it means a time? It means a time. We can debate about when Seita Kochavim is, but it's a time. Why is it by Hanukkah all of a sudden we come out and say, no, Hanukkah is a different story. Hanukkah, it means a time plus literal. If you look at the next back of the page, I believe that Hanukkah has in it or the Hanukkah candle mitzvah, has two components to it. And this is not rocket science. It's actually built into the mitzvah. Says the Gemara something very strange about Hanukkah candles. We don't have this anywhere else. Amar Rav Huna, Shabbos Daf Kaf Gimel Amud Aleph. Chatzer sheyesh la shnei ptachim tzachim shtei neirot. If you have a courtyard that has two entrances, you need to put Hanukkah candles on both. So even though one menorah per house is good enough, if you have two entrances, you need to put it on both. Why?
Because people might walk by.
People might walk by and... Say that. All right, very nice. Absolutely correct, Mitch. So let me ask you a question. How come when I light my Shabbos candles inside my house, there's no halacha of if you could see the Shabbos candles from the window? I'm not saying you have to, but if you happen to be able to, and there's two windows, you better light in both because people might say you didn't light Shabbos candles. Let's continue. Pirsum anes is a very nice thing. We have it in various places. We have it by Megillah. We have it by Arba Kosos. But with regard to Hanukkah, it's actually a halacha of how to light. It's not just an additional result of the mitzvah, but rather it is built into the mitzvah. What do I mean? The next Gemara says, Amar Rav Chiya Barashi Amar Rav, HaMadlik Ner Hanukkah Tzarich Levarech. Big Chiddush, you have to actually make a bracha before you do the mitzvah of lighting candles. Why is this a big Chiddush in parentheses? Simple. What's the bracha? Asher kedishanu b'mitzvotav tzivanu. Blessed be you, God, King of the universe, who has sanctified me in his commandments and commanded me to light the Hanukkah candles. Does anyone see there's a lie here?
Yeah.
When did God command us? The Gemara asks that question, works on it. So that's a chiddush. Close the parentheses. Rabbi Yirmiyahu amar, haro'eh ner shel Chanukah tzarich levarech. If you just see the Hanukkah menorah, you didn't light it, you make a bracha. And the Gemara says, which brachas you make? If you actually light it, you say lahadlik, sha'asa nisim, the first night she'echiyanu. If you just see it, sha'asa nisim, and she'echiyanu on the first night, sha'asa nisim the rest of the nights.
Every time you see one?
As you could see here, Hanukkah has two components to it. Component number one is, like any mitzvah, the Rabbanan, light the Hanukkah menorah. Number two, do it in such a way that it publicizes the miracle. If you look at the words of the Rambam, it's beautiful. The Rambam, Hilchot Chanukah Purim, as you can see, the Rambam put it together to the Rabbanan holidays. Perek Gimel, Halacha Gimel, very easy to remember. He goes through the whole Chanukah story. He says, because of this, they made a holiday for 8 days. And he says the following regarding Chanukah candles. One, Umadlikin Bahena Neirot Ba'erev Al Pitchei Abatim Bechol Laila Ve'Laila Mishmonat HaYalilot Laharot Ulegalot Hanes. You light the Hanukkah candles at the entrances of the home in order to fulfill, to publicize the miracle. Next, continues the Rambam, it's also a regular rabbinic commandment. V'hadlakata neirot bahen mitzvah midivrei sofrim kekriyat ha-megillah. It's a mitzvah derabanan like Megillah reading. I won't go into the question of what's the divrei sofrim mean in the Rambam, but suffice it to say for this year, the Rabbanan. When we light Hanukkah candles, we're doing two things. Number two here in the Rambam, we're doing a mitzvah, the Rabbanan. Number two, we're publicizing the miracle. It's not just an afterthought, it's built into the mitzvah. Therefore, there's an actual bracha on just publicizing the miracle. Because if you didn't light your menorah, and you just saw menorah, which of the two components did you fulfill? Did you do the mitzvah of the Rabbanan? No. But did you publicize the miracle and get publicized? Yes, you even make a bracha on it. And vice versa. If you light inside the house, Rambam, B'yamei ha-sakana maniach adam ner shel Chanukah toch beitol bebifnim v'afilo hinecho ha-shulchano dayo. Which component of the mitzvah did you fulfill? Did you fulfill the mitzvah of the Rabbanan of lighting Hanukkah candles? Absolutely. Did you fulfill the mitzvah of publicizing the miracle? No. No, you did not. Therefore, it's very important to understand that with regard to Hanukkah, we have two components to the mitzvah. And now you can understand why Rashi, who knew the Gemara and Menachos with regard to Tefillin? Who knew the Gemara and Brachos with regard to Kriyat Shema? All of a sudden, by Hanukkah candle says, "Hell, this one's different." Why is this one different? Because it has two components built into it. One is doing a regular mitzvah, like many mitzvahs out there, and the second is publicizing the miracle. Sometimes you can do one without the other. Either if you don't have a menorah, but you see someone else's. Or you do have a menorah, but you light inside. But the best way to do it is to do both. And therefore, when it comes to Hanukkah candles, we have a very unique halacha that doesn't exist in other places. There's two components to the actual mitzvah. One is a regular mitzvah derabanan, and the other is to publicize. And since that is the case, comes along Rashi, the Brisker Rav Pask in this way, in the contemporary times, and said, it's not enough just to light for half an hour. That's the mitzvah derabanan. But going on a step further, they built in to publicize the miracle. You have to publicize the miracle. So as long as there's people outside, you have to publicize the miracle. Now, if there's people outside and the menorah goes out, you try to put in a bunch of oil and it goes out, the halacha is you don't have to relight it. But there's no question that lechatchila, what you have to do is you have to go ahead and light it in such a way that A, you're doing a mitzvah, and B, you're publicizing the miracle. And we can have one without the other. If you look on the bottom of the source sheet, we have a very strange minhag. Nobody knows where it came from, but everybody does it. To light the Hanukkah candles in shul. It's not a house. It's not, no one lives there. We still light the Hanukkah candles in shul. What mitzvah of the two components do we fulfill? Only Pesume Nisa. How do I know that? Because last night or tonight, when someone in shul will light the Hanukkah menorah, no one in their right mind will say, you can't light at home now. You already did the mitzvah.
Right.
Because you're doing component number one without component number two. Component number one is Neri Shuveto, lighting at home. Component number two is publicizing the miracle. When you light in shul, you're publicizing the miracle without the mitzvah, the Rabbanon, the actual mitzvah of lighting at home. And vice versa. If you light in home, closing the shutters, you're doing one component without the other. So as you could see, Hanukkah candles is very different, and therefore Rashi was, even though in the first two cases he didn't say what he said, all of a sudden here he said, this is different. The rabbis built it in. They even made a bracha on just seeing the menorah. And therefore, we go ahead and we have these two components. And just to end, we originally said at the beginning of the year, on a class that wasn't recorded, that anytime you have two brachos on one mitzvah, it means that there's two things happening at once. You're killing two birds with one stone. We talked about tefillin, we talked about bris milah. Here's a very good example. First bracha, it's for the rabbanan. Light the candles. Friday night, a woman says, Ladlik ner shel Shabbat. Tonight, you're going to say, Ladlik ner shel Chanukah. Very, very similar. Why is there a second bracha? Because there's a second component to the mitzvah. The one thing I don't understand, and I throw this out, that's tzarich iyun, as we say. If you're lighting inside the house and there is no pirsum hanes, then why do you still say sha'as nisim? I know the answer. The answer is because there's people in the house seeing it.
Yeah.
Right? Therefore, the halacha is if you come back at 2 o'clock in the morning, you have to wake people up. Now, I'm throwing this out. If you live alone, and it's sha'at ha-sakana, and there's no one out in the streets, and you came back at 2 o'clock in the morning, and there's no one to wake up, do you just say bracha number one without bracha number two, or not? I throw it out, I'm not paskening. Yes?
When my wife and I were in Prague, we davened at the Altenai Shul, and we had a tour, and they showed us that they had places in the shul where people used to sleep during the Middle Ages.
Okay.
So there was a time when people actually slept and ate in shul.
Absolutely. That's why there was a takana to make kiddush in shul, because people actually ate there. But again, once takana, people didn't eat in shul, and by the time the Shulchan Aruch was written, the Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Yosef Karo said, no one's eating in shul anymore, and therefore we don't make kiddush Friday night. The Rama disagrees, but he says, no one's eating in shul anymore. Even then, the Shulchan Aruch says, as we see here, that you light the menorah in shul. The Sephardim as well as Ashkenazim light it in shul. Component right. Number two without component number one. Yes.
As more and more people get older and older, many more people will be alone in their own homes. Is lighting and Skyping it to a lot of the family and friends an aspect of pursuing mitzvah?
I think definitely what to talk about. Definitely what to talk about. But why do you need it in a case of someone living at home alone? All you do is put it by the window.
Well, it's assuming that they have a window they can move.
I'm hoping they have a window.
We have many people living on the mountains.
Well, in New York, so the windows
are symbolic. Apartments down below.
There are apartments.
That's a problem. Right. That's a problem.
A wall and no one can see out the window.